Ready.
We're live.
Welcome back to the Practical Rambling Fathers. My name is Father Tay.
Father Brian.
And we are now in the fourth Sunday of Lent.
Woo!
Yeah! So we're going to take a look at the Gospel of John, chapters 3, verses 14 through 21. And we will read it now. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict. The light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God."
Boom. So, before we get started on the whole thing, just give a little context to the beginning of John 3 here. Nicodemus, who he is, he's a Pharisee, so he's part of the higher-ups of the ongoing religion practice from the Jews at that point. But most importantly, and I think this has some significance, and I'm just kind of wrestling with this now, is like he comes at night and he has this whole entire discourse with Jesus. And I love the Chosen episode where Nicodemus is like coming to ignite and he's like excited and he's on the verge of like, this could be the greatest thing ever. And this is the greatest thing ever if you are the one.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I love that, I guess what's kind of coming to me like is like this sense of like humanity going like, in this darkness, in this unknown, in this, I'd rather not know the truth, but I kind of want to know the truth. Can you tell me the truth? And Jesus has this like very articulated conversation with Nicodemus
100%.
That just goes into,
this is it, buddy.
This is it. I am who I am. Okay. I'm not going to sugarcoat this anymore.
And so you gotta make the choice.
Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of where I want to start, is like Nicodemus coming to him at night and Jesus has this like one-on-one conversation with him. And Nicodemus is later the one who buries, isn't he?
Correct.
He's one of the ones that comes and buries Jesus. So
yes,
Father Tay, you want to go us into,
yeah,
lift it up.
So keep that in mind because you'll see the inner struggle that Nicodemus has with the rest of humanity as we hear Jesus reveal to the whole world who he truly is. In verse 14. If I can see the reading. So the first thing that Jesus does is to use a biblical figure that people know. So he uses a story of when the people were rebelling against Moses. They didn't listen to God nor his laws. So God sends a bunch of serpents while they're in the desert to go bite them and kill them. And so then the people come to Moses like, hey, save us. So what did Moses do? It says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So Moses was commanded by God to make on this bronze pole a serpent. And so everyone who was bitten by this poisonous snake were to gather in the main.
Whole bunch of snakes were running around.
Yeah. They were dying left and right. And so they were all freaked out. They said, Moses, save us. They said, okay. Here is a serpent on a stick. Go out into the middle of the plaza and look upon us, and those who look upon us will be saved. So that's where we're starting from. The word lifted up has two meanings. Number one is the actual lifting up. Like you lift something up and we gaze upon it. Or it can mean being exalted. The Greek word for this is hypso. So the first one being lifted up is that Jesus dies on the cross, right?
Physical body is physically lifted up.
Exactly. When they raise the cross, his whole body is lifted up.
Which is what this serpent was.
Yeah, just like the serpent was. And second of all, is that it's looking at it through the eyes of faith, which means exalted. So when Jesus was dying on the cross, everyone did have that the eyes of faith looked at it as a criminal. He deserved it. But those who look at the eyes of faith looked upon it so differently, right? So if you were to look at some of the old allusions to it, like for example, who in the beginning of Adam and Eve, they could not eat from the tree of good and evil, and then also the tree of knowledge. So what was the thing that caused him to sin? Satan. He appears as a serpent, right? So then is it a coincidence that these serpents are filling people's minds with lies and fears and they're dying as a consequence of their sin, right? They're dying. But yet the Lord God says, no, I will save my people. If they look upon this object now with new faith, they will be saved.
So the other like putting in there is the poison of sin, the contagion of sin. And so that's what's going around and biting. And Jesus becomes sin on the cross. Yes. And takes on sin. So he takes on our poison. He abstracts our poison, but he's not the poison.
Correct.
Which is kind of with this serpent. It's not a serpent. It's just an image of a serpent. Jesus is fully human, but he's a divine being.
Yes.
So he has a human nature, but he's a divine being. And he looks like us and talks like us and has a human will, but he also has a divine will. So he takes on, this is why John's gospel is at the very end, because there's so many things to John's gospel.
It's very complex, yeah.
That he's getting at. And so he has this, he has this ability to be talking about both of them using this word, lifted up. So he's lifted up on the cross physically, but he's also exalted by the Lord because his hour has come.
Yes.
So, it's also the same verb, as the lamb led to the slaughter,
yes,
of the servant that takes away the sins of many in Isaiah,
mm-hmm,
and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, which is earlier in John's gospel. So it's a twofold mystery, really. It unfolds the mystery of the cross by the bronze serpent, in the book of Numbers is one of the definite things that Jesus is talking about here with Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. And it elicits, this is a great part,
yes,
it elicits for you and I this invitation to genuine faith in Jesus. Jesus knows who he is, and he doesn't beat around the bush at all in this conversation in the nighttime with Nicodemus. It's whoever gazes in faith, ultimately. The effect of human sin is death. We know that. And the crucifixion of the Son of God is also the means to eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So through the vision,
correct,
the vision of faith looks into the spiritual realities, into the signs, which is what John's gospel is all about.
Yeah, another quick
entry into divine life.
Correct. Another quick one you can look at when you have time is look at the scene when one of the soldiers thrusts a lance into Jesus' side.
There you go.
Blood water hits him, and he says, "Truly, this is the Son of God." I love that scene because, number one, he is lifted up literally. Second of all, he is exalted. And so now the people around him with eyes of faith have begun to see that this is much more than a man. Right? This is the Lamb of God led to the slaughter. And to build off what Father Brian just said, whenever I hear about this gospel, I have such yearning and compassion and pity for Nicodemus. He was so close. And that's why Jesus was trying to win him over by saying the next part, which is beautiful, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life."
So eternal life's the end goal for the human race, according to God.
Yep.
However,
there are some obstacles that stop us. Like, we hear all these beautiful promises that the Lord God has made for us, but at the same time, Jesus, he realizes the downfall and the weakness of our humanity, because he says this: "Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Jesus is not here, nor is God or the Holy Spirit going out here to make sure people don't go to heaven. No, it's the complete opposite. They have to present us the truth. And then the hardest part is that, it's like what Father Brian said earlier, we want to know the truth, but yet we're afraid of it. And yet when we're presented with the truth, we would rather not know.
Right.
Right? But Jesus, out of his love, says, no. Look at what I can offer for you. If you were to take away the evilness and the darkness, yes, all of that, it's hard, yes. But here's the thing, right?
Like, we have this obsession. We have this obsession with death, but we don't talk about death. Yes. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, all of our shows, like Walking Dead, NCIS, all of these, like, murder mysteries, Law and Order, like, we don't like it for ourselves, but we love... It's like, it's in the peripheries all the time, and we just rather not look straight at it. And Jesus is making us look straight at it. The world is under a condemnation and spirit of darkness on account of sin, but the Father does not want any to perish, since that's why he sent us his Son. The gift is salvation. I was just talking about this past weekend. The joy of salvation is knowing that our life does not have to end in life, death, Satan, and hell. Or death.
Correct.
Sin, death, Satan, and hell. Yep. Yeah, our life doesn't have to end there. Doesn't have to. Still could. Doesn't have to because of Jesus. And the divine life that God offers us. The other thing that humanity is obsessed with, and this is just part of it, is we would rather not die. Correct. Like, we'd rather not talk about death. We'd rather not do anything about death. But... the only way that we don't die
is we believe in Jesus and live a life that sacraments believe in him.
Well, yeah. It's divine life being infused into us.
What more do you
Our
want?
Our human nature is going to die.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a physical thing. The heart's going to run out. That's fine.
Yep.
The only way to live beyond the heart dying is complete and utter trust in God's love and mercy and his son, Jesus, which is what the sacraments and faith does.
And that's the best thing there is. Like, wouldn't you want to have that vision of hope, vision of life? Like, yes, this body can be taken away from me, but if I have been faithful to God, he's going to fulfill his promise of giving me new life. And this is where it's so important. I think that's why it hurt. A lot of scripture says Jesus looks with the people of pity because he understands how difficult the choice is. The next part
says, can be.
Yeah, he says, this is the verdict, that the light came into the world. If we look at the word verdict, in Greek, the actual word for it is crisis. So humanity is at this crisis. What do we choose? I love the book of, I think it was Exodus, right? Moses tells his people, hey, look, you have two paths. There's a crisis in front of you, and you have two choices, the path of life or the path of death. If I were you, I would choose life. Jesus is doing the same thing right now. He loves us too much to revoke the gift of free will, and he wants us to accept him. He says, hey, love me. Here are choices, A and B, but you get to choose, right?
Yeah. Verdict also implies a judgment, which is not a word. It's not a word we
like to use.
I love it. Anyways, a judgment. We need to make a decision. God needs to make a decision. You can't just blah, 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 blah.
You can't just be on the top of the fence waiting to drop in when it's the most opportune time.
What's my benefit? What's my cost benefit here? the evangelist here, John, explores the inner dynamic of belief versus unbelief through the contrast between a light or staying in darkness. And within John's gospel, there's a whole bunch, John's gospel does a whole bunch of things in the light and brings light into different moments of darkness. He brings sight to those blind. He brings the lame to walk. He brings health to where there's death. He brings life to where there's death. All sorts of things that he does, that Jesus does. Do we need to circle back to the... but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he had not believed in the Son of God.
We can. I mean, it goes back to the word judgment, right? Sometimes the Lord Jesus presents us the actual truth and reality of things. We don't like it. We're like, God, you're supposed to be all-loving and all forgiving, which is true, but we forget that people make decisions. And once you make a decision, you can't blame God. That's why Jesus has been working so fervently and hard. Look at how he's trying to win Nicodemus over. He's like, my son, you're very close. The only thing stopping you is if you were to be born from above again. That's why Nicodemus literally said, but how? He couldn't understand it.
Yeah, you get to that later in the conversation for sure. Yeah. Or earlier in the conversation.
Yeah.
But I just want to do this because this is actually our second recording. So freedom. So Father Tay, what's your favorite candy bar?
Snickers. I love Snickers.
Okay. So Snickers is your favorite. So if I gave you a Snickers, is that you having freedom or is that confining you?
Well, it's my freedom. If you give it to me, I'd be like, yes, I will take that.
Okay. So if I give you a Snickers, mine's Three Musketeers, sometimes frozen. So if I give you a Snickers, a Milky Way, a Three Musketeers, a Kit Kat bar, which would you choose?
I would still choose the Snickers.
Great. So God knows us better than we know ourselves. So God knows that we want to choose him. Our hearts are restless until they rest in him. How often humanity, how often I choose to rest or try to rest in other things other than God himself and in his son Jesus and within the sacraments of the church and da 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 da. So my freedom is for the loving of God.
Yes.
However, I use my freedom however I want.
Correct.
So the analogy breaks down because we can get sick of food. We can get sick of our favorite food. So, but again, if that's your favorite candy bar, then me giving you candy bar, that's your favorite, does not condemn your freedom.
Correct.
It actually makes you be able to choose it more willingly, which is why like poverty, chastity, and obedience is a freedom, not a hindrance to life.
Amen.
So it gives us an opportunity to live within the bounds that the Lord is calling us to live through. But then another thing that I always love is like freedom in the world is getting a menu at a restaurant.
I love this.
Okay, so your freedom is anything you want on this menu. You got it. You choose it. It's yours. But if that waitress comes around a third and fourth time and you have not decided,
that's your fault.
You're going to get a burger.
So why?
Or you're going to get a salad.
So why pretend that you're going to get something new?
So who tries new stuff? I don't know. Like, okay, so if I was at like Newt's, right?
Yeah.
I know what burger I'm going to get.
Yep.
Like, I know what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Why do I have to kid myself? Like, oh, I'm going to try something new. I mean, great. Go for it on a menu. Go for it. Yeah. But like within life, within Jesus being the truth, like being the Son of God, the only way to get to the Father, like very important. We listen to what Jesus has to say about us being saved.
And that's a great segue to the next part. Like, so how do we live this and apply it to our own lives? The temptation is, are there any other options? Just having options gives us this false comfort. But then if you look at one of the commentators says, the first thing that we have to admit, this gift of eternal life that you can choose, that's amazing. Like, this is the best gift you could ever get.
Yeah, it's true.
And the coolest part, he didn't force you to do it. God says, do you want this? Literally, it's
do
like the candy bar.
Live forever?
Would you like to live forever?
I have a way of saving you from death.
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's my biggest fear.
Exactly. So God doesn't do it to patronize you. He doesn't do it. No, he actually comes to you with his tone saying, hey, my child, I have the best gift you could ever want. Would you like to listen to what I have to offer? That's exactly how he approaches you. But like what Father Brian says, we focus so much on like the parameters, right? Okay, God, if you're giving this gift, what does it mean? Like, what do I have to do?
It's that, and then continue is like the verdict came and the light came into the world, but the people preferred darkness to light, right? Because of their works were evil. So going into like what you're saying is like I prefer darkness to light because it could be awkward.
Yes.
Getting my darkness out into the light.
Yes.
But we don't realize that Jesus came into the darkness and wasn't tainted by the darkness And that's, he brought light and life and health and healing and restoration to those in darkness, towards us.
Correct. And the cool part is he's always the one who initiated, because he knows how awkward it is.
But he's a gentle, right? Yeah. He's a gentleman, so he doesn't barge in the door. He waits outside and knocks. Behold, I'm knocking. Boom.
Amen. I want to close out with just one last comment. That's it.
We're closing out.
Because in the commentaries, I love St. Bernard Clairvaux. So he writes in his treatise or his writing about this whole phenomenon, right? So he calls it on grace and free will. So he uses this kind of refrain saying, to consent is to be saved, right? So what does that mean? God doesn't work until we choose to work with him in cooperation with salvation.
I wouldn't say that. God is always working.
Correct. God is always, you're correct. God is always working with us, but people often deemed it as God is not giving us consent. He's always working to win us over. That's a better way to say it. He's always working to win us over.
Well, it's for our will to consent is to be saved. God wants to save us, and that's what he's getting at. It's our consent, our amen, right? Yeah. If we talk about the real presence of the Eucharist, like,
correct,
my amen does nothing to affect the reality in front of me.
Yes.
It's the reality in front of me that makes me say amen.
Yes. Because we realize what a gift it is. That's the point of this whole gospel.
Yeah.
The gift of free will, the gift of eternal life.
So, like, I'm just saying yes to truth. Mm-hmm. My opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which apparently has... Anyways... I said that once in one of my homilies, and now the kids on campus are
Father,
like,
you can't Father say said that. No.
Your opinion doesn't matter. Truth doesn't care about your opinion. It cares about you, which is Jesus. Jesus doesn't care about your opinion. He cares about you.
Yeah, he wants your soul.
Way more than your opinions.
He wants your life.
Yeah, he wants you as you, because he created you.
Exactly.
All right, get to the very last year. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. So this real sense of our bringing out our wickedness to supreme truth, as St. Paul will say to the Romans, Augustine comments, people love the truth for the light it sheds, but it hates it when it shows them up as being wrong. Winston Churchill, one of the two of them, I forget which one, but said, I don't need a religion to tell me when I'm right. I need a religion to tell me when I'm wrong, which I remember a Franciscan saying that to us in seminary, and I was like,
wait, what?
He's like, when I disagree with the church teaching, I just go in the catechism and I start researching it, why the church is right and why I'm wrong. And he goes, wow, this actually holds together. I am wrong. Cool.
That will strike many fear to people's hearts right there.
Don't start my own church off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the best part is in this... whoever lives in the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. I think AA represents this well. I think 12-step programs represent this well. Mm-hmm. I think anyone who's gone through trauma and been healed of it from the Lord, or just our own prayer life, bringing our life to the Lord, like the lowest point of our life, if we work with the Lord through it and through healing and through all those different ways, like, becomes a source of life for others and for ourselves. Like, the thing we would rather not talk about, we end up talking about, and we end up, like, clearly seeing our higher power or God or Jesus, like, working that into the light. And then basically not our own light, but the life that God has placed in us in that spot is what shines to the world.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this podcast. We hope to see you next week.
next week, going into the next.
God bless. Bye.
Stay holy, my friends.